Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for joining us today for this period of biblical study on a very vital and important subject, the subject of what the New Testament tells us regarding the work of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised the disciples that he would go back to the Father, but that he would pray the Father and send the Holy Spirit unto guide them. We invite you to the regular services of the Crockett Church of Christ, Sunday mornings 9:30, 10:30, and Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Come and visit with us. We're Highway 4 west of Senatobia, about 7 miles from Interstate 55. We're there on the left side of the road, and we invite you to come and be a part of services with us this very week. Now to our study for the day. Jesus knew that his mission was to come and tell the word of the Heavenly Father. John 12, verse 49. He said, "My words are not my own, but my Father which sent me." These words were the words of the Father that he wanted Jesus to teach. And thus Jesus taught his disciples, and he assured them that although he would leave them and go back to Lord glory, he would pray the Father and send another comforter, another guide unto them, and they would be guided by the Spirit of God unto righteousness and judgment to come. In John chapter 16, we begin reading at verse number 4. "And these things I said not unto you to the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? And because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Guide, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. But ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, this is John 16, verse 17 now. "Then said some of his disciples unto themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while ye shall not see me, and a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And they said therefore, What is this that thou hast said unto us? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Truly, truly, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, for your sorrow will be turned into joy. The woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, that I will not see you again. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. I'm stopping there at John chapter 16 and verse 24 in reference to what Jesus told them about the good work of the Holy Spirit. Keep in mind the context of this passage in John chapter 16. He's talking to the 12 apostles. He's talking to them in their work of the future after he has left them and gone back to him that sent him, that is, to his heavenly Father. Because he said, when I go to the Father, you will have sorrow for a time. You will have sorrow and regret. But you will recognize the truth about the matter, for the Spirit will come and he will guide you into all truth. And that's the idea that Jesus said to them in John 16 and verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The books of the New Testament are writings of the apostles of Jesus Christ. As we find the writings of them, we find that the message was a message of the Spirit of God for them. When we read, therefore, in the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, we read a message about salvation from sin and how to live for the Lord from day to day. And he speaks regarding the Spirit of God who guided him to write and to speak these words unto them. He is thankful for the Spirit of God doing this, because depending on his particular memory, there are some things that he might forget that Jesus himself had said to them and talked to them. But in regard to the message that the Spirit of God revealed to them, that Spirit of God revealed to them what they should do. In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, we read the following. There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That old law of sin and death was an old law, and it passed away. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from that law. He says in Romans 8 at verse 3, and what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're to walk after the Spirit of God. He says in Romans 8 at verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I want you to observe in this regard in Romans 8 at verse 11. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit ye do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I want to stop there at that particular verse in Romans 8, at verse 14. And note to you that the Spirit of God was to come and guide these apostles into teaching the truth. As they taught the truth, there were people being converted because of that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they were converted to the Lord, they left the ways of the flesh, they left the ways of mankind, and they became people who were servants of righteousness. The Spirit of God inhabited within them. And they were able to do this because of righteousness. They were able to live and have hope for the soul. As they lived, they were to be people who followed the way of the Lord faithfully. Some thereby conclude that since the Holy Spirit will come unto man in that day and time and guide him into telling the truth, he'll come and guide us today. Without that word, by very virtue of what we do, we can give credit to the Spirit of God by the way that we think and the way that we do, and we'll praise God because of that. But he tells us in Romans chapter 8 something completely different. Listen to the reading as we go along in Romans 8, beginning at verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit of God also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn from many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to recognize that there's a message here for you and me, as well as in that day and time. It's a message on down the stream of time, that we who find ourselves converted to the Lord have the witness of the Spirit of God within us, that we are the children of God. Look there in Romans 8 and at verse 16. He says that in that regard. He says the Spirit of God bears record with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if we find ourselves being the children of God, sons of God, we're led by the Spirit of God, who has revealed these things to us in words which he wants us to incorporate within our hearts and lives, and be guided by the word of the Lord to do the things that the Spirit of God would have us to do. Does that make sense to you and me? Or is it the fact that you want to stay with that idea that the Spirit of God abiding within you is that which guides you to do the things that you do, leads you to do the things that you do? And as a result, you're people who practice a way of life that is filled with entertainment, thrilled with ideologies of mankind, and not considered the Word of God at all. Yet he says regarding this Word of God, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints of God according to his will. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, and he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, also him he called. And he called them and justified them. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Notice that in this regard, Jesus was a way of life for us to follow. It is said in Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even from the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. As we are there in a person of life, and we realize that sins are a part of our day, we want to leave those sins. We want to leave them behind. We want to quit them. And how do we do that? We call upon the Spirit of God, and we call upon Jesus himself, our intercessor, to forgive us of what we have done, what we have said, how we have misbehaved. Think about that for just a minute as we read on further in regard to this matter in Romans chapter 9. He says in Romans 9, beginning at verse 7, neither they are the seed of Abraham, are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also is conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And it is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said unto Moses, I have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and my name shall be declared throughout all the earth. The Lord wanted that to be true, and he wanted that to be the word that would be fulfilled. And thus the word of God would continue the fulfillment even after the time that Jesus came and told his disciples that he would go to the Father and send the Spirit unto them to guide them into all truth, Romans 8:16, to guide them into all the truth. As these apostles went forth to preach and teach on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Simon Peter preached that which was true for the remission of sins. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would abide within their spiritual life. He would abide within their hearts. He would make it possible for them to follow the Word of God, and thus the Word of God would be that which would be conclusive to the way that they would walk and the way that they would behave from day to day. John concludes this whole matter in Romans 10 and in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit came to guide them into all truth. How did he do that? By words that were spoken. By words that they are reminded of that Jesus had said to them. By words that they could teach to others. That's the work of the Spirit of God. And thus they understood that message. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, when Paul concludes the idea, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many people today conclude the idea that faith comes as a result of what I want to feel within my own heart, and not the idea of it coming by the word of the Lord. Now notice the verse of scripture right after this in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say unto you, have they not heard Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Chapter 11, verse 1, I say unto you then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am of the Israelites, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he knoweth, foreknew. Wot not that the Spirit of God, that the Scripture of God of Isaiah saith, he that maketh intercession to God against Israel saith, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he speaketh for, but the election that obtained it, and the rest was blinded. According to that which is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I said, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them that be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them that be the riches of Gentiles, how much more shall their fullness be? I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, and I magnify my office, if by any means I may prove emulation of them that are in the flesh, and to save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, and the lump also be holy, if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. The branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Because the unfaith, unbelief, of those who are broken off, that standest by faith, yet by high-mindedness and fear. But if God spared not the natural branches, that heed lest they not spare thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them that fail severity, on toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise if thou shalt be cut off. And they also that abide still in unbelief shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And if they were grafted out of the olive tree, which are wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest we should be wise in our own conceits, that the blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. so that Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away unrighteousness or ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant to them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts of call and calling of God are without repentance. For ye are at times not believing God, but now obtain mercy through their unbelief. He says in verse 33 of Romans chapter 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. The God of heaven had a way in which he was to send his Son. And from his Son coming, he taught the word of God, John 12, verse 49. And the Son said, I will go back to the Father, and he will come, that is, the Holy Spirit will come, and guide you into all truth, John 14 and at verse 26. Notice the message of truth was the message that was written down. It is a message that is full and complete, and it's the message of the Spirit of God that we're reading today, and reading from it, we're to be people who commit to our lives to it, commit our lives to the way of God, that we might be people who follow the way of the Lord righteously and faithfully. Are you following the word of the Lord faithfully? Salvation from sin is not because of the fact that you are a person who wishes to be saved from sin and wishes that way of life for yourself, but by the way of life that Jesus taught, that we might have forgiveness of our sins and might have peace within from that. That's the way that he taught us. That's the way that he gave to us. And notice what he said in that regard in Romans chapter 12 and at verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It is written. That's the message we're to follow today. That is written message, that we honor the way of the Lord. And when you talk about a way of life that the Holy Spirit told you to tell others, you're just telling something that is just really not the case. The Holy Spirit did not come down and talk to you and tell you what to tell others, what to say to others. He did come down and talk to these apostles in the book of Acts in the New Testament, the book of Romans in the New Testament, and tell them that the message that he was delivering to them is a message from the Heavenly Father. It's the message of God. It's the righteousness of the Lord. And that's the way he wants people to live, the way he wants people to behave. Thank you for your time and study with us today of this important theme. And for that time, we invite you to the Crockett Congregation, located at 7458 Highway 4 West of Senatobia. God bless you in every way. Thanks for your time today. This is Robert Rawson.